Thank you for downloading this message from New Horizon AOG Church. We pray that it inspires you to arise and shine.
Amen. Good. Well, wow, eh? Pastor Steve's been back less than 24 hours and I've made him lose his voice already, but he's not allowed another holiday. He serves the church really well. Why don't you just turn to the person next to you, behind you, and say hello? If he was here this morning, just speak to them about what was the main point that you felt God spoke to you regarding the message, and that would be handy. Good. It's a real privilege to have our guests with us. And Pastor Wavy preached in the church many years ago, and I've just shocked him because I can remember his sermon title. And maybe it's a word for somebody here. You have a future, not a funeral. Everyone say, amen, amen. And it blessed us. And I just want to honor our guests. And he is now an MP in Nigeria. And let's give him a big round of applause. So a man of authority. And he has to oversee lots of committees, including finance and expenditure and really interesting things. And so we're just really honored that you're here. And we've known Timothy for quite a few years. And thank you, Timothy, for the night that you volunteered in this place. And let's give him a big round of applause. And I think he helped to fill two skips, and all good training for the future. And it's good. Yeah, well, it's all hard work. And so let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to acknowledge that you're awesome in this place. And we recognize the Lordship of Jesus Christ in this place. And Lord, we say, we love you with all of our hearts. We worship you. We uplift you. We glorify you. We magnify you. Our Lord, we believe we've come here because you want to speak into our lives. And so, Lord, I pray that it would do us good. We know, you know, your word is always anointed and it's always good because it's your word. But Lord, I just pray that tonight that something will happen in our spirits, that some things that are dead or dry, as we spoke about the dry bones this morning, that there'll be life will come to those dead areas. And we prophesy into every dead area in Langley Mill and Hena and Eastwood and Ripley and Amber Valley and Broxtowe and Nottingham and Derby and all these places. And Lord, we just prophesy life. We prophesy salvation. We prophesy a hunger for the things of you. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. Good. So did everyone have a good afternoon? Did everyone sleep? No? Yes. If you have two boys under seven, it's hard to sleep. But anyway, so good. So tonight we're just going to keep looking, if that's all right, with the subject of John the Baptist. I'm not going to repeat what I said this morning, but I want to look at the main texts that we was looking at. So if you've got that verse up, the outstanding verse was from John chapter 1, verse 6. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. And can you remember the importance of the name John, which was good. And then the second verse was, it's a lot of validity in talking about John because the Bible says that out of all the people born of a woman, Jesus says that John was the greatest. Who thinks that's amazing? And so I think it's really important that we look, and you know, all of the Johns feel really good in the house. And but it, you know, that of born of a woman, John the Baptist was the greatest. So if you ever hear a debate about who was the greatest human being that's ever lived, well, we know the answer. But then he does say, which we discussed for a long time at Bible College, when it says, but if John calls you the greatest, then it means you're going to be the least. Yes, and because that's how the kingdom of God. So if you get a compliment from God, yes, you're the greatest. It means that you serve is the least. Anyway, I won't unpack that tonight. So we looked at, and I'm just going to recap a few things, and I spoke a word that we've never heard in church before, but the first point was keep burning the incense. Yes, tonight we've come to burn some incense. Yes, we're not burning any physical incense, but we've come to worship God. We've brought an offering to God of praise, and we need to be like Zechariah in our lives, keep burning the incense. Number two, that we can realize that God has miracles in the menopause. Yay! Yes. And can I just say, ladies, you have made my day. I tell you, I've been preaching for a long time, and honestly, I've got fans all over this place. Finally, someone is talking about it. So the word was is that we shouldn't dread the season of our life, that in every season, God's got miracles for us. Amen. And it's not just we believe that young people can carry the purpose of God, but also people in their middle ages and older or mature in age, they can carry the purposes of God. And never let your life go into limp mode. Do you know what that means? And you know, we as a, this is not aimed at a criticism, but when you've been in church a long time, you kind of understand. And myself, Becky, Michael and Lisa and a few of us, we kind of observed that when people had children, a lot of people went into limp mode in terms of they busy, fair enough, raising a family, but in terms of serving God. But we said, no, we're not going to be like that. We believe we're going to, I know that practically tonight I've been picking up snowballs off the floor and different things, and we're doing different things, but you know, we can still serve Jesus full on in every season of our lives. And even if you're in that season of life where maybe sometimes it is good to wind down, don't get me wrong, but I just want to encourage you, let's be full on for Jesus in every season of our lives. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Speaking to my children, they're here right now. Good. Thank you, Timothy. He's giving me a wave. Good. So thank you. I think it's good that you know, on a Sunday morning, you know, they say that some pastors is the only employment where a guy has to bring his kids to work. Yeah? Just think about that for a moment. So I have to sometimes just say to my sons, I love you, but I'm working here. And you see the whole fun and joy of, and them being here is important, because they've witnessed something tonight and they're in the atmosphere and presence of God. And I always want my kids in the atmosphere and presence of Jesus. And so we looked on that. Then we looked at dismissing the disgrace. That maybe that was a word for you. You know, people, maybe you've been hurt in life and we carry pain, or maybe you've hurt other people and we carry, maybe a church has hurt you. Maybe somebody's hurt you, and we can carry that disgrace. And Elizabeth carried disgrace, but we serve a God who dismissed the disgrace, and he showed her favor and kindness. And I believe that whatever we've been through in life, God has still got kindness and favor for our lives. Okay? And you may be broken down, but you're not a write-off. Yes? And we serve a God who is a master at restoration. And I love watching these car. I'm a car guy, so I love cars. And so, Pastor, you got a great car. Very nice. And he are beautiful. And I like them when they take the cars and they take it down to the bare metal and they restore it. It makes it look wonderful. Well, you know, God can do that with all of our lives. And maybe you're just on a journey of healing. I just want to say that you're very welcome to be in this church. Take it at your own pace and just hang around with me. Please don't feel you've come to a perfect church, because I know I'm in it. And I will walk with anyone and sit with anyone, because I am a pastor, yes, but I'm just a normal guy who loves Jesus and I'm trying to outwork the will of God for my life. So just be yourself and just enjoy the presence of God and take it at your own pace. Is that okay? Good. Don't lose your voice. What we looked at, and Zechariah lost his voice. He didn't see it, so he couldn't say it. And we don't want a faithless church. We'll have no voice. And we want the voice of God to be amplified in our world. And we should pray for the royal family because very soon, as we pray, we should pray for our queen. It's important that we have a queen, and I'm not a huge monarchist. Is that the word? So if you don't like the queen, but the Bible says pray for those in authority, but she is a Christian and she speaks about God in every speech and she's the head of the church. Well, that will change. And I don't want to be political, but I pray for sometimes for William and for Kate, for Harry and Meghan, that something of the legacy and the Spirit of God will touch their lives. And I pray one day that I'll have the opportunity to preach in front of them. And who knows, one day they could attend church. Amen? And we'd welcome them with open arms because everybody needs Jesus. Amen. So we want the church to have a voice in the nation. Point five, please speak up. And that's a challenge at times when Elizabeth had to say, well, I don't want to be awkward, but his name has to be John because God said it is John. And we have to contest for the will of God in our generation. And I would love that the devil would say, there you go, Andy. Please help yourself. Please go ahead. Rescue people. Heal the brokenhearted. But sometimes it's not like that, is it? Sometimes we have to break through some things to speak up and be determined to see breakthrough and to deliver the will of God in our generation. Amen? Amen. Good. Then we looked at the revelation of resonance and how when Mary met Elizabeth, this resonance happened where something of the divine, of connection and linkage between what Mary was carrying and with what Elizabeth was carrying. And to help you navigate your life, it helps you. When I realized that the power of resonance, when I was involved in something, and it wasn't just, there was something deep inside of me. Does everyone? And you just know it's right, and it's there's just something of God about it. Then that you pursue that. And maybe you feel that about this church, that, you know, there's just a resonance, that something that we're about, it just connects to your spirit. And that really helps us navigate our lives. Always seek counsel, of course, and then we looked at the last point, it's a big deal. And we looked at John, that he brought that message that Jesus, as Carl said, that his message was, this Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Lamb of God. He's not just a man, he's not just a good prophet, he's not just a good prophet, but he is the Son of God. Now, we know in our 21st century context, that is very controversial. That's why we have to pray for our government. Can I share like this tonight? Because they try and help the society out about bringing guidelines on multiculturalism and religion when they're not religious. Or they don't understand that. So I can live with a Muslim and respect their beliefs, absolutely, and I will not persecute them for their beliefs. But myself and a Muslim man would completely agree that we would never agree, because they believe that God has no son, and if he believed that he has a son, his name's Jesus, then they wouldn't be a Muslim anymore. And if I ever believed that God didn't have a son, then I couldn't be a Christian. Does that make sense? Because they're non-negotiables. And so for us to all live together, we're not all going to agree, but we can still live in peace. and respect one another. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so we got to pray for our government, because an atheistic society are trying to give answers of how we should live, but they really don't have much foresight of what they're dealing with. Does that make sense? Which makes everyone get confused. And so as a church, I believe God gave people, and I'm very happy to discuss it after, that God gave people a free will in the garden to choose how they want to live their lives. And the minute we force people what to believe and what to do, it's against how God designed it. So how I live my life is that people can choose what they want to believe or do, and I will not persecute them. And Brian Houston said a good thing, that we as a church don't condemn lives and lifestyles, but we don't affirm lives and lifestyles either. Does that make sense? Now, that's a bit of a vexing paradox, but that's what I believe. So I can be friends with people who live different to me. It doesn't mean I affirm their lifestyle, but we can live at peace. Does that make sense? So we don't talk about this much as a church, do we? So maybe we can crack this open another time. So I just wanted to put that, I don't know how we got onto this, but you all went quiet thinking, yeah, I'd like to hear someone talk about this. And so we should not persecute people, because God designed that people can choose. However, if someone asked me for their advice and opinion, then I would share the word of God to them. And we're a church, we're a Bible-believing church, which we don't compromise on Bible teaching, because we believe it's the truth that sets you free, even though it may be inconvenient, because sometimes truth is inconvenient, if that makes sense. And so just wanted to share that. Thought that might have helped you. So it was a big deal. And we know that John is saying, the whole point, he picks up the microphone that God's placed in his hands, and he wants to say to the whole world, mainly to the Jews, that this Messiah that was promised, Jesus, is he. And if you are on a journey to faith, or even if you're tonight, or you're listening on podcast, that you are an atheist, I respect your view for being an atheist, but I feel you have one question to answer in your life. And I would invite you to study this if you're serious about your beliefs, because the Roman records tell us that there was a man, his name was Jesus, he was from Nazareth, he was born in Bethlehem, and he died on a cross. That is not up for debate. That's recorded, that's in history. The great question that everyone and every single person on the face of the planet has to answer, who was he? Was he just a good man? Was he a prophet? Or was he the man who he said he was? Because the reason why Jesus was hung on a cross and died is because he told the people and he told Pilate, I am God. So he wasn't murdered, because we believe he laid down his life for the flock. And I had to come to the conclusion, because sometimes Pentecostal people, the world thinks we're not very intellectual, or we don't think things through, but we do. And so my conclusion was, as I was thinking as a teenager, I'm just sharing this to help you witness to your friends or people, is that, because sometimes we start at Genesis, which is difficult, because we get into dinosaurs and different things, and that can be tricky, yes? So I skip that bit and I go straight for Jesus. See the cross? You see it on pop stars, wear it around the neck. You'll see it in society. There's nothing special about the cross. That loads of people got crucified on a cross, but there was a man named Jesus who died on a cross. And you have to just decide who was he. And I came to the conclusion very quick, is that he was either, when you think about it, you're only left with three choices when you come about Jesus, when you think about Jesus. So he dies on a cross for saying that he is God. And the three conclusions are, number one, because when you've told a lie, yes, or you're trying to be a hero, I'm sure that when the second nail went in, or the third nail through his feet, you'd go, "Oh no, just to let you know, I'm only joking." Yeah? So he's either very stupid. The second point, which I appreciate some people might explore, he was mentally ill. Okay. Or the third and final point was he was Jesus. And when I came to faith, I mean in church, but I came to the realization that you've only got those three choices. I'm very happy to discuss any other choices after the service. But when I look at it, intellectually, you're left with those three choices. He was either lying and had an horrific death, which I think that would be very kind of silly. He either was mentally ill or he was God. Yeah, tell people, think over that over breakfast. Think over that as you eat your cheese and biscuits over supper. And if you think, and you think that he is God, wow. What does that mean for your life, for eternity? What does that mean? Amen? So, sure, I'll share that. Okay, so it's a big deal. We looked at a big deal. So, I jumped about a bit, but here's where we're going to go is... Point, let's go, team. Thank you, team, for everyone turning up tonight. Very quick notice. Point nine, let's go to point nine. Point nine, da-da. Are we there? Okay. I'll say it anyway. There we go, number nine. About the birth, life, and death of John the Baptist is that God wants revival on the river. Oh, come on. Come on, I'm in a Pentecostal church. God wants revival on the river. Yes, come on. Because he came and he came with a word and he went beside a river, baptizing people. I want to say tonight, you're not sat in any auditorium. This auditorium's called the Eriwash Auditorium. And we called it the Eriwash Auditorium. We called every name a section, a population of people. So you have the Amber Valley Suite, you have the Broxdale Suite, you have the Ashfield Suite. You're in the Eriwash Auditorium because we want God to move all over this place. Yes? We want to see this place full of people finding Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God wanted revival on the river. Mark chapter 1, verses 4 to 6. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching and baptizing of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Listen to this. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Oh, come on. Thinking that, what would that look like today? 350,000 people living in Nottingham, 300,000 people living in Derby, 150,000 people living in Amber Valley. Just imagine if next Sunday 800,000 people turned up for church. Yeah. And it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Now, you know, think, Pastor, now we'd really need a big building for that. But this is what happened. Because God just breathed and moved and people went out to him. What I love about this as well is that sometimes in our 21st century world, the buzzword is strategy and and we need strategy, don't get me wrong. But sometimes God can do in the man's eyes something unstrategic. Surely you'd put John in the city. Yes? I believe we're a peculiar people. God wants us on the riverbank. Yes? God's placed me here and the leaders here and the pastors here. Relatively, people say to me as an AG pastor, Andy, you're in the middle of nowhere. Oh, well, John was in the middle of nowhere. Yes, and people went out came out to him. Now, don't get me wrong, we should be evangelizing, we should go out to people, but there was something of the dynamic power of God where people went out to hear this man. Amen. Just picture the scene. John baptizing, looking a bit weird, eating a strange diet, bringing the word, and just revival breaks out. Yeah. Absolute carnage. Yeah. Just, it's 50 years since Woodstock. And I was watching the documentary with my wife and just seeing the incredible crowds of people that was there. And I'm just saying in my spirit, God, come on. Let us see something of God. We don't want it just the same old, do we, church? That we should, I know that we, but let's, come on. I know we, some of us are UK and British and we're a bit, can be a bit skeptical, but come on, let's lift our faith. See, if God did it then, he can do it again. I mean, come on. I mean, just think of Billy Graham, who just a guy from America went and knocked on the door and said, excuse me, can I hire Wembley Stadium? Who is supporting you? Ed Sheeran. Yeah, Little Mix. Will Young. Will Young, that's me being old. whoever the state-of-the-art people is, I don't know, Frank Sinatra, that's my kind of music. But anyway, but no, just what you gonna do, Billy? I'm just gonna preach the Bible. Just think about it in our context. Yeah? Most people think, oh, who's this arrogant guy from America? Oops. Who's this arrogant guy thinks America, thinks he can come? And I don't know one church I've ever visited where someone has not got saved through the ministry of Billy Graham. Brian Griffin is here. Wave, Brian, you got saved through Billy Graham as preaching. Let's give Brian a big round of applause. God wants revival on the river. John 10, verse 40 to 42, then Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. God spoke to me about this when we was building this place, when we was here at 3 a.m, eating pizza. And the reason why we did that, because John the Baptist in the early days, there he stayed and many people came to him. They said, though John never performed a sign, all that John said about this man was true. And in that place, many people believed in Jesus. Many people believed in Jesus. I believe sometimes God wants, to, not sometimes, God wants to raise up strategic places of salvation. Yes? Because there was something in that place that Jesus recognized. There's something in this place that there's just salvation in the house. I want to share as a senior pastor, I don't want to be known for a church that has a lovely building. Yes? Even though that's nice. I don't want to be known as a church for us to be wonderful at conferencing, even though we've hosted around 100 conferences in this building since the start of the year. I don't want to be known. What I want to be known for is that New Horizon is a place where people find Jesus. Amen. That's what we want to be known for, church. That's what we want to, that is why we're here tonight, is that, and tonight, before you go, I'm going to give an opportunity for people here to become a Christian. And if there's nobody, that's fine. Thank you, Keith. Thank you. We're going to pray in a minute for you to become a Christian. Amen. Thank you. Let's give Keith a big round of applause. Amen. Okay, point 10, commitment through the criticism. John the Baptist had to stay committed through the criticism. You may think I'm a bit weird, but I love criticism. That's how I have to think about it in my head. If not, I would quit every week. Because the reason why I love criticism is it means that if you are criticized, it means you're doing something. Yeah? Yeah? Because people who don't do anything, yeah, they don't get criticism. And so if you're getting criticized, and sometimes you get criticized for being stupid, but I'm not talking about that, but sometimes, yes, you, when you start doing what God asked you to, you will be criticized. Oh, if I could let you read the letters that I've had over the years. Oh, dear. Pastor Wavy's smiling. And some stick that you get is unbelievable. But every time I read it, I go, oh, praise the Lord. Because the Bible says, beware men when all men speak well of you. Come on. Because when the apostles, what was the result of their preaching when they went in towns? What did the Pharisees see? The men who've been changing the world upside down have come here and they caused a riot. Oh, hallelujah. Sorry, I know we're British, but hey, I'm preaching Bible tonight. Hallelujah. Yes. And so, you know, John the Baptist comes and he's saying, make straight paths for him. And there's always, always, always somebody who's not happy. Yeah? Can I say, like what Naomi preached last Sunday, be careful when you criticize. Just be careful. Something I've learned. What happened to Miriam when she criticized Moses? If people realized, I'm sharing my heart tonight, if people realized, when they, and I'm not just saying this because I am a pastor, but when they criticize, I'm not saying pastors are above criticism or above question, so don't misunderstand me. But when people criticize leadership and men and women of God, I just want to encourage you, be careful. If I can say that, be careful. Been in church too long to understand and to value that principle. Because if you know my journey in church, not an easy one where it can be easy to criticize, but I'm not saying we're always going to be happy. Don't mishear me. But let's just be careful with criticism. And John is preaching, and we know that he gets criticism because Jesus says, what do people? Some people say? Because John steals some of their influence, steals some of their fame, because they're not listening to them anymore. They've gone out to listen to John. He's demon-possessed. Oh, ouch. Yeah, he's demon-possessed. Oh, dear. Has anyone ever said you're demon-possessed? Because yeah. I've had it. Yeah. Sat at a meeting one day, and this lady, I'm saying, this is what the Lord says. You're listening to the devil. Praise the Lord. I'm on fire. Yes? Because it was said of John the Baptist. Yes? Oh, I'm preaching. And so, yeah. So, don't no one shout that I'm demon-possessed tonight. But all I'm saying, people were scared of John. Ooh. Controlling people are scared of prophetic people. Ooh, they are, you know. And they attack straight away on John. Bang. That's why John needed people to strengthen him, bless him, support him. He was taking a battering for Jesus. You are a demon possessed. How dare you speak? Don't listen to this man, John. He will lead you astray. He's demon. Ooh, that's pretty personal. But I love John. John doesn't just go, oh, no. These people don't like me. I'm sorry. I will slowly go back into my cave and I will hibernate. He just says, bring it on. If you say I'm a demon, fair enough, but I want to keep preaching Jesus. So, to any future pastors in the congregation, you will be criticized. If you cannot take criticism, you will not stay in ministry. Yes, because it's not just personalities, but you're dealing with something higher. Yes, that wants to stop you advancing the kingdom of God. And as the person of Taylor Swift, even though I don't like her music, she says, sings that song, shake it off, shake it off. And when I get home from my wife sometimes and I feel like I've had 10 rounds with Mike Tyson, she has to get me and say, come on, man of God, shake it off. You are not that man. You are a man of God. Hallelujah. My wife's awesome. I need to get a wig on because we'd have to have another meeting tomorrow night. So you've got to be committed through the criticism. Be careful when you criticize. Yes, but be committed. Because it's a sign that you're doing something. Yeah? And if you're really wise, I was on a camel in Gran Canaria with my wife. There's a point to this story. And there was lots of trees. And I said to the tour guide, and stay with me, I'm not here to be offensive. I said, who planted all these trees? He said, no one planted all these trees. He says, bird droppings. Yes? That in the excrement, there's a seed. Yes? And now this is what Pastor Steve and the team knows this, so we know as a team how to deal with criticism. Number one, we take it as a compliment because it means we're standing for something and we're doing something. But sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes in the criticism, there's a grain of truth that can help you become a better leader and a better person. Yes? And use that. Yes? And so instead of going criticism, oh, that's terrible, you say no. It's a compliment, I'm doing something. And let's see if I can find some improvement in that. Yeah? Just put the rage down and just look for the seeds. Amen? Commitment through criticism. Point 11, dealing with doubt. Oh, dealing with... Now, I know you're very holy and lots of faith. So I know that nobody doubts Jesus here. I'm talking to New Horizon people. But I think it's very, some people would say it's not an easy thing to talk about, but I love it that John the Baptist, we find that is a man, remember, no one greater born of a woman, who was sent from God, who says, he who is after me has surpassed me, you know, that verse, and then he has a revelation that this is the Son of God. He gets put in prison. And he has a bit of a wobble. Now, if I don't know about you, but that encourages me. Because if John the Baptist can have a bit of a wobble and have a bit of a faith where you go, ooh, when you're in prison, you know, and you've got to be careful if you get really down because it can distort your vision and your shield of faith. It drops, and whenever your shield of faith drops, the arrows of the enemy are bang, 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 bang. God doesn't love me anymore. Why has my life gone so bad? And so he sat in prison, and his followers comes, and he says these words. He says, can you ask Jesus a question? And he says to these followers, can you go and ask Jesus, are you the one, or should we expect another? Ooh. But that's real, isn't it? And sometimes there's going to be times in our lives. Even John the Baptist had those times where you think, is God real? You know, I loved at school contesting for the faith. I had to be excluded from my biology lessons because I refused to be taught that the fact is we are from apes and monkeys. I said, I'm a guy who the Bible says, we look to you, you got to speak up. Excuse me, Dr. Bradbury. I know I'm not fully living like a Christian and I'm on a journey, but I'm not having that. Come on. You can say it's a theory, but it's not fact because my Bible says, in the beginning was the word. Oh, hallelujah. And we went into that. And so the men, you imagine that must hurt Jesus. And the men say, excuse me, we've got the person you've just said is the greatest person who's ever lived. We've just got a question from him. Are you the Messiah? Or are we expecting somebody else? And what I love about it, Jesus didn't go, what, this man of little faith, how dare this John the Baptist, what is he? He's a faithless little, and he says these words. And I'll explain you the Jewish significance of these words. And this was Jesus' reply. He says, go back and report to John what you hear and what you see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosies are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. Well, you need to understand that in the Old Testament, when people was looking forward to the Messiah, there was what you would call messianic signs. Not messianic, but messianic. The signs of the Messiah. Are you with me? And so as he's saying is that I'm not going to get argument of who I am. You just need to know the signs that the King has come. Yes? How do you know that you're the Messiah? The deaf are hearing. Yes? The blind receive sight. The mute start to speak. They're the signs of the Messiah. And when John heard the news, that we need to say we don't just serve a God but we serve a God of power and the presence of the King and our testimony and our stories of Jesus Christ. And I know that when John would have heard that, he would have thought, yes, debate over. Doubt gone, because Jesus is backing up his words with action. The kingdom has come. So don't worry if you have a wobble. Talk to someone, maybe a life group leader. Pray with them. We all have maybe areas of our life where we struggle. And that's okay. Is that okay? Sometimes, you know, I know people who work at the emergency services, the things they see. Sometimes they find that hard to reconcile with their faith. And sometimes we have to walk through people with that journey. Sometimes we see things in life that don't make sense. But you know, it comes back to God being the Messiah. Amen. And John was greatly encouraged and he returned to his belief. Okay, we're coming to an end. Point 12, revelation on retirement. So we've talked about the menopause. I really like saying that. And we're going to talk maybe a little bit about a taboo subject before we finish, and we're finished in 10 minutes. We're going to talk about retirement. When is the right time to retire? I love that the Bible talks about retirement, don't you?
Yes.
When is it the right time to pass the microphone on? Is that okay to talk about?
Yes.
Because it's something we don't talk about. So one of the most interesting things that people find intriguing when they do a tour of the church is that there's two pictures after my picture. Now, I just want to put it out very clear. I have no plan at this moment to leave this church, okay? But it's also important to state that I will not be the senior pastor of this church forever, okay? If I'm the last person who is a senior pastor of this church, even if this church is 1,000, 2,000 people, I have massively failed. Massively failed. Because it's there to make people know that we want to see this church succeed, and God may return at any time, we know that, but we want it to go on from generation to generation to generation. And I want every single 15-year-old young person that walks in the staff office to look at that picture and say, that could be me. Yes? That could be me. Even my son, when he saw that picture, and I'm going to try and talk him, if he's called of God, I'll do everything to try and tell him not to be a pastor. And if he still wants to be a pastor, I'll tell him he can be a pastor. And he says, he looks at the picture and says, that could be me one day. I want to be a pottery maker first and a Formula One driver, but that could be me. Yes? Because we've got to inspire the next generation. Because what the great thing about John knew when it was time to hand over the microphone. The greatest challenge that the UK Pentecostal church is facing is how men of God retire. That's the biggest thing. Because churches, and this is just shit, I'm sharing my heart, because they have not looked after pastors, they've not got pensions and they've not got their finance sorted, and so they're having to stay in the church to pay the mortgage, and the church is massively suffering. So whether I'm here or whether, however long I'm here, we need to make sure, I'm not just saying this, well, Andy, you're saying this because obviously you're the pastor. No, we need to look after people well. Because if you don't, it compromises the future. Does everyone with me? Because there will be a time when you're not going to be here. Hopefully, you'll be in glory. And there will be a time, shock, horror, and it may even be in 25 years when I'm 65. Because this is not my church. Yes? This is not your church. It's not my church. It's our church, don't get me wrong, but it's the Lord's church. Yes? When you come to my office, please understand, and I'm just clarifying this, it's not my office. The office in this building is the office of the senior pastor of New Horizon Church. And why I hold that office, it's my office. Does that make sense to people? Yes? Because this is the Lord's church. He's building his church. Are you in the church? Good. You see, John, and I'm finishing. Is this okay with everyone? He knew he was brilliant regarding to retirement. He knew the right time. Listen to this. It says John 3:27-31. Basically, all of the followers are coming up to John the Baptist saying, Jesus is nicking all of your followers. Your influence, John, is going down. And we're not happy about this because this new kid on the block is getting a louder voice than you, and you're the top man, that this is not right. I love John's. You know what John says? He says, oh, where's my place? Here we go. He says, John said to this reply, we could talk about this tonight, but we've got to get home. And John replied, a person can receive only what is given from them from heaven. Yeah? So you can't be Andy Dillnot because you've not been given what I've been given. Yes? You can't. So stop trying to be someone else or being jealous of someone else because God's not giving you that. You can only receive what God's given you. So chill out about that. You yourself can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but I am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine. Oh! The next person's here. I've got to give him the microphone. I want to say, if you're in a position of leadership within a church, there's going to come a time when you've got to pass the microphone on. And he says these words, which sometimes are preached in the wrong context. He says this, he must become greater, he must increase, and I must decrease. This is what he was saying, Jesus, one day, and it may be in 25 years, I love this church. Please, no one walk out of this room thinking, I'm just leaving. I'm not. But I'm not the boss of this church. The leaders lead this church with integrity. God's told me and Becky to submit it to leadership, to lead this church, and we love leading this church. But there'll be a day when God will say, Andy, you've got to pass the microphone on. And we have got to be ready to release the next generation. And I want to say, I will go, because nobody likes to decrease, do they? I mean, I love it. I'm going to go to Barbados. We say, God, amplify his voice. Amplify his voice. And I must make a decision to decrease. You know, John the Baptist could have said, hey, Jesus, you have your, hey, let's share this pulpit now. And how do we know? And some of you might think, when's the right time to retire? This is I'm going to finish very soon, but you know, we've got the spiritual immaturity of listening to God. I love my own space. People know that. Steve knows that. I say sometimes, Steve, leave me alone. But I like my own space don't get me wrong, I love being with Steve. I love being with people. Listen to God. Because what did John say? When I heard the bridegroom's voice, when I see and felt and sensed that my replacement was in the room, then it was time for him to increase or her to increase, for me to decrease. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. So when God speaks to you to retire, or maybe we never retired, are we, but to hand over. Hand over. Yes, hand over. That's what John the Baptist retired really well. And I think it's an amazing example to set in the Bible. Number 13, confront the controlling. Pray for prophetic people. You know, John, he was executed. He had his head chopped off. He was decapitated. Why? Because Herod was sleeping with his brother's wife. And sometimes, as men and women of God, we have to confront. I love the Bible. Herod didn't really like it because Herod was scared of John, because controlling people are scared of prophetic people. He said, the Bible says he feared him. And then one of the daughters of the lady Herod was involved in did a dance. And this is another thing, and we'll come to an end very quick. And Herod, he had all of his friends around, and he wanted to be the big man, big ego, in front of everyone. What can I give you? I'll give you to half my kingdom. And she said, give me the head of John the Baptist served on a platter in front of your guests. And Herod sent an executioner. And John, in his early 30s, had his head decapitated and it was paraded. It was paraded at this party. And, you know, we live in a world where for John, you might not think, church, that's a fairy tale ending. But he did what God had asked him to do. And that's the ending that we all need to live towards. And I just want to pray that there's going to be some times in our nation that we're, as a church, we've got to confront some things. Right now, the spirit of the age and the agenda in media is shocking. And we need to be shrewd as serpents and innocent of doves, and wisdom of how we can. We've got to learn lessons from the American church. They're known for what they're not for more than what they're for. So I try, and we've got to be known for what we're for. But we're not going to be for everything, if you know what I'm saying. So God's just got to help us in our lives, that we need a prophetic move of God where sometimes we're going to confront some things. You know, we all love the story of the Egyptians, don't we? Leaving captivity. Oof. But Moses had to go 9 times to the most powerfulest man, one of those powerfulest men recorded in history, to say, let my people go. I'm coming to your office. I am just a man. Whoops. Holy water. Don't worry. We'll dry. And I'm just coming. I'm going to knock. And right now, maybe you've come to faith, or you're new and you're going to enter into something new. Can I just say, this is the enemy's tactic. He's going to intimidate you to pull back. He's going to say, no, well, if you've got to stay in there, and you've got to say, no, I've got to confront this. It will get better. I will get through this. Yes. When I became a pastor, every day I wrote the resignation letter in my head. No. Keep going. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Last point, 14, the point of the purpose. And we finish on this. There was a man who was sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light. Why? Why have we looked at John the Baptist? So that through him all might believe. So you've heard about John. Right now, do you believe in Jesus? Can I ask you that question, every head bowed and every eye closed? Maybe you're here, two prayers. Tonight you want to say, tonight I want to become a Christian. I'm going to believe in Jesus. If that's you right now, it's an opportunity. I want you to raise your hand. Is there anybody want, thank you. Is there anybody else that want to receive Jesus, Lord and Savior, and say, tonight I'm believing in you? Or is anybody here where you're in church, but you know you're not where you're meant to be? And you say, God, tonight I'm coming back to you. Tonight I'm recommitting my life to you. Is anybody in this place? You can lift your hand. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. You lift your hand and say, Andy, I'm coming back. Hallelujah. I'm coming back to God. I'm coming back. I'm going to give you all of my life, all of my future. Like the word said, the prophetic word, I'm going to open all the doors of my life and let the King come in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I want to thank you that salvation is in the house tonight. Lord, we believe right now there's a party in heaven as people have come to your kingdom that are believing in you. Lord, I pray that this decision will transform their lives in the name of Jesus from now on. A new creation. Lord, I just pray right now as people are returning to you and opening up their hearts for you to come into their lives. Lord, I pray, fill every empty vessel. Fill every room of darkness. Fill it with your presence. Fill it with your power. Fill it with your glory. That all people will know that, Lord Jesus, you are the Lord of heaven and earth. All God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Good. John the Baptist. Let's give God a big round of applause. Well, you guys are awesome. Can we just give the worship band and the sound team and the coffee bar team and Steve, they've just turned up tonight and they've made this thing happen. Good. God bless you. Prayer meeting Tuesday, 10 to 11. Next Sunday, Pastor Steve. Seven. Your day will come. And right now you're in a preparation. Rosie, you have got the gift of leadership on your life. And God's got a day for you. God's got an amazing day for you. You are like a firebrand. You are a strong person in God's sight. And I just said to Becky, wow, Rosie's got something. You've got courage. And God's going to use that courage in your life. And your day will come. And you see, the day came. The Bible says in those days, the time came when John had to take the microphone. And knowing that God's called you to do something and the realization of doing it can be terrifying. I just finished with this story because you need to be encouraged that your day will come. Maybe right now you feel discouraged because your day's not come yet. But I want to encourage you that your day will come. Your day will come. And so I knew from a very early age that I was going to be a pastor. You need to know, you know, when I walk through this place, I love it. I'd rather be here than anywhere else on the face of the planet. I love church. I've always loved it, even though we have peculiar people like me. I love it. I love the sight of it. I love the smell of it. I love you guys. You're awesome. I'm so passionate about the house. I love church. It's the redemptive vessel that God's going to change the world. I love it with every fiber of my being. I have to pinch myself. You know, I love it. I sit behind my desk and go, wow. And I knew, and God spoke to me about taking the church on. And me and Becky were met with the leaders. God spoke to us about being the senior leaders. You'd like to be a fly on that wall, but you wasn't. Maybe I'll write a book and you'll know. Wasn't plain sailing. That's all I'm saying. And because God spoke to me in 1996 in a nightclub to say, I've called you to represent me to this generation. Go, I'm sending you. And if you know the story, I said to God, looking at these people, they look really happy. They look like they're having a party. I had a brilliant answer for God. They look like they don't need you. And if they don't need you, you don't need me. Oh, praise the Lord. That was brilliant. And then God says, Andy, you don't see what I see. You see a parting generation, but I see a broken generation. I see a generation that is not happy, that's full of anxiety, full of problems. And I'm calling you to speak up, to share, to bring life, hope, peace, destiny, when you need to bring the word of God in season, out of season. I want to make you like a bar of iron. I want to put the fire like the word of God. I want to say pray for me, because sometimes I drive through places and the word of God is like a fire in my bones, church. And we made a decision, foolishly or not, where the leader said, well, everyone's got to agree because it's such a big decision. So, okay. So for 2 years, the leaders couldn't agree until everyone could. And this is one person. There's always one person, isn't there? So now I'm not sure about this. I've had a few letters. Oh, Lord, don't you love letters? Yeah. Oh, I've had a few letters. And I think, oh, come on. Let's get things going here. You know, this is God's will. But as a young man, I always wanted to honour. You always honour leadership. You always honour those. And you put your life on the altar, and then because you've got to know when your day, you'd be ready for your day. And then we went and we drove to this meeting, and I drove, and this last person who was in disagreement, he said, okay, now you can be the pastor. I got in the car and I went, oh no! Oh no! We have gone back. We have gone beyond the point of no return. This is going to be happening. You're going to become a senior pastor at the age of 28. Yes. And you're going to do this. And I want to say, and I went home and I laid in my bed and I was like, oh my goodness me. I didn't sleep a wink. Because there's one day your day coming, and then there's another thing that you, when your day comes, whether you're ready for the day. And I sat on my sofa and Becky had gone out to work, and I picked up a DVD and it was the story of Jeremiah. And I'm sitting there just drinking tea and I'm watching one of these DVDs about Jeremiah, and I'm thinking, I'm shaking, I'm thinking, oh, I'm feeling sick. I'm like, I've got to take this church on. And oh, dear me, I've had a lot of letters. Not lettuce, letters. I'd have had the letter. Anyway. And it says this, your fault me going over, Steve, so blame him if you miss it. Where am I? What point am I on? Seven. Your day will come. And Jeremiah 11, how do you know when your day comes? Because John says, it says, if I can find it, Luke tells us, Luke 3, that the word came to John. And after the word, when he'd received the word, then he went out into, he didn't go out just on a whim. He went out because he had the word. So I'm sat in my front room, Jeremiah 1, and these words, and sometimes you're watching a film and the God, boom. God says, moreover, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 11, 12. You get to know me tonight anyway. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well. I think you lent me the DVD, you know, Elaine. You did. I hope I gave it you back. And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready. I am now ready to perform my word. In other words, God says to me, now is your time is now, your day has come, and I'm going to perform all the words that I've spoken to you, and you need to get ready. And as soon as I was like, oh, yes, I am ready. I want to encourage people, your day will come. Don't freak out about it. Your day will come when you know the word of God in your heart and your life. I tell you, when I got that word, I was like, wow. So let's stand. We're going to pray. Stand to your feet. Your day will come. And when the word came to John, then he went out. But you've got to listen to God, church. Tune your ears into God. Spend some time with him. Listen to what he wants to say. Maybe he doesn't say anything to you. That's fine. Just stay in that place. If he says nothing to me, then it's fine. Sometimes when you're in a friendship relationship, sometimes you don't need to say anything. You just hang out. I'm the type of person, if God wants to speak to me, if he's got an issue with me, or if he'll always speak to me. If he doesn't speak to me, that's cool, because we're friends. Don't get religious about it. So listen to God. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this subject, John the Baptist. And I don't know really how to end it, but I know you know how to end it. So Lord, I just pray whatever's been deposited in people's lives tonight, Lord, I pray it will bear much fruit in the name of Jesus, and that it will increase 30-fold, and it will just keep increasing and increasing, that people's been enlarged, they've received blessing, encouragement and strength. Lord, we just pray for this church, that it will be known for people finding salvation, finding you above all else. Fill your house with salvation. Amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed this message. For any more information or to download our weekly podcast, please go to www.newhorizonchurch.org.uk.